Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, this is Lean Keys Real Talk. Like I always say, I have no idea what number it is anymore, and it's partially irrelevant, so we just keep on rocking. It is what it was. Lee, what's good, bro?
Oh, man, chilling, man, just maintaining.
Yep. Well, we just had a crazy event, and we definitely got a lot to talk about. Now, I laid out a couple things there. Max Holloway is going to fight. You know, I believe he is both, you know, one of our favorite fighters, or if not favorite fighter. He's definitely, like, in my top five favorite fighters to watch. So I'm excited about that. And I'll definitely try to tune into that fight.
Yeah, I think I don't know how this fight came about or why it came about. I think, once again, it's the UFC trying to get Yair Rodriguez a big fight to see whether or not, you know, he could beat big-time competition. I probably wouldn't have gave him Max Holloway. I probably would have gave him somebody else in the top five, maybe in the top eight. But, you know, this is the fight we get this weekend. Yair Rodriguez has a big shot. I mean, if he can beat Max Holloway, hey, the sky's the limit. You know, Max done gave the champ two good fights. You know, he chased Aldo down to 135. So, you know, let's see what Yair got, man. The last time they put Yair in there with, you know, a quote-unquote top guy, you know, he didn't look so good. And that was against Frankie Edgar. And look where Frankie at these days. So, hey, man, I think Max wins this fight. I don't think it's going to be close. I don't know Yair Rodriguez can strike with him. I don't know whether or not Yair Rodriguez is going to be able to keep up with Max's cardio and energy. But, hey, everybody has a puncher's chance in the UFC.
Yeah, and I was noticing that Yair Rodriguez said, I mean, hey, you know, I've gained some perspective, you know, and I realized that guys got to, and all these fighters, they got, you know, they're supposed to talk like this, so it's good. You know, I can't front on them wanting to, you know, say the things that they should be saying. You know, it's like, Yair Rodriguez should be saying, I'm going to go in there and finish Max Holloway, you know, regardless of whether, you know, me or you believe him, which, I mean, I really don't think either one of us believe him, but he should be saying that. You know, that's good for him, and it's good for the fight, you know, and it's good for the sport. It's good overall. You know, to me, it is. You know, he's got to do that for his brand and to, you know, climb the ladder, even get, you know, bigger fights, you know, if he feels like he wants to fight for the title soon, you know, potentially. You know, that's the kind of thing that you got to say. You know, it's got, you know, me, it caught my radar, you know, him saying something like that. I mean, I really don't care that much about his fights. I mean, I think he's an entertaining fighter, but I'm not really checking for him. You know what I'm saying? I'm not really bugging out, like, when he's fighting. But, you know, he's supposed to say that, but at the same time, I mean, I don't believe him.
Yeah, I mean, I never heard a fighter say, yeah, I'm going in this fight to lose. What? I ain't never heard that. So, you know, yeah, and plus, it's the fighter's responsibility to sell the fight. So, you know, maybe he seen some stuff on tape in the Yan fight that he think in the first Yan fight that he thinks he can use against Holloway. And I think the one thing that most fighters can use against Holloway is the leg kick, because he rarely checks them. And he keeps it out there. Even when his leg is hurt, he won't change stances. So, you know, that's one. Maybe, you know, that's something that Yair looked at from the first Volkanovski fight. I'm sorry. That Volkanovski used. And Volkanovski also used some timely takedowns in that fight. So, but Max is known to have good takedown defense. And this fight, coming off of last weekend, I probably wouldn't have had this fight this weekend. I probably would have took a weekend off just, you know, so we could catch our breath for the last 2 weekends and then have this one go probably the following weekend. Because when you look at this card is lackluster. And basically the only fight we probably look at is probably the main event. But let me double check that while you go ahead and state your points, sir.
Yeah, so I just went back and, you know, I looked up Max Holloway, SureDog. Shout out to SureDog.com, by the way. Y'all are my go-to to check fighter records. You know, there's a lot of places you can look for fighter records, but I went on Max Holloway, SureDog, and I just wanted to see when the last time he had been finished was. And I found that it's actually even further back than, I mean, I suspected that he had never been finished before in the UFC. He has been finished before in the UFC, but it was his very first fight in the UFC versus Dustin Poirier in February of 2012. He lost by first-round submission, and that's his first fight in the UFC. That was literally his fifth pro MMA fight, also his first fight in the UFC. Since then, he's lost 5 times in the UFC after that, but each of those was it was a decision, either, you know, unanimous or split decision. So he has only been finished 1 time in the UFC. So, like I said, guys should say that. You know, I support fighters, you know, being competitive. I love to see it, but I just, you also, you got a lot. You can't shame me for wanting to break down the legitimacy of the statement. You know what I'm saying? The reality of the statement. You know what I'm saying? Because there's certain things that are more likely than others. And, you know, what it's going to come down to is the likelihood of things actually happening. Like you have a heavyweight fight, you know, you take any given heavyweight fight or a light heavyweight fight. And if one guy says, I'm going to knock out that guy, and that guy has, you know, that he has never been KO'd before, that is still likely because they're both heavyweights. They're both light heavyweights. So we understand that, and especially at heavyweight, we understand that anybody can get knocked out on any day by anybody when you're fighting in the heavyweight division. So if a guy has never been knocked out before, okay, cool, but he can be knocked out at any point. So, but that is more likely than, you know, saying you're going to finish Max Holloway, because it's just, you know, regardless of his weak points, for some reason, we just haven't seen it. We have not seen it. He fought Brian Ortega, whose Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is way better than Dustin Poirier's. And Brian Ortega, he put probably one of the worst beatings that Brian Ortega will ever receive in his life. Like, I don't even think Brian Ortega came close to submitting Holloway in that. I don't even remember him being in control of that fight at any point. I want to say he never really even got control of that fight. Holloway beat him down so bad, he didn't even get the chance. So regardless of Max's weak points, for some reason, no fighter that he fights really does a good job of exploiting his weak points. I mean, Volkanovski has beat him twice. Yes, he has. But at the same time, like, when you're talking in terms of ways that you can finish him, who has really exploited the weak points? I mean, when he lost to Poirier before that, I kind of chalked that up to the fact that he was fighting at 155. You know, that to me is why he lost to Poirier. I feel like, you know, if he was a couple fights deep at 155 and then fought and then fights Poirier again, I think he can beat Poirier in the rematch. Or if Poirier was back down at 145, I think Holloway definitely beats Poirier if Poirier were to move down to 145. So that's what I accustomed that to. But just overall, that's what I assigned that to. But either way, for some reason, it's just guys just the Holloway's got weak points, but guys just can't exploit them. They can't exploit them very well because he beats everybody.
Yeah, Plus, Max Holloway and that Dustin Poirier fight, that was on short notice. So, I chalk that up to that. But let's see, man. Let's see what happens, man. Yair, I was at one of his fights, the one where he came back in last second, knocked out Korean Zombie in Denver. That was exciting. So, hey, we'll see what happens Saturday.
Yeah, so one thing that he said, too, I was listening to his, I think it was actually yesterday afternoon. Yeah, it was yesterday afternoon. You know, during my workday, I was just listening to Max Holloway talk with DC and RC on their show. And Max said something that really, well, he said two things. One, he said a lot of guys want to, I'm trying to think of like the analogy, that what exactly he said. He said something about taking the stairs, because they were asking him basically like, with that performance you just put on earlier this year versus, you know, my boy Calvin Kattar, they said, you know, how, you know, basically you could sit out and wait for a title shot if you wanted to. Like, why? What would make you want to take this fight? And he was like, a lot of guys want to like, he said something like, a lot of guys want to like take the diva elevator or something like that. No, they want to be elevator divas. That's what he said. He said a lot of guys want to stand around and be elevator divas, but that's not me. I'd rather take the stairs.
Okay. So he wanted the hard way, not the easy way.
And I respect that so much. When he said that, I was like, all right, Max, talk that talk. You know, I like when he comes out and talks that talk. You know, it's been a minute since I've really heard something like that out of his mouth, you know, and he kind of makes a comparison, you know, of himself. You know, he kind of compares himself to the rest of his division. I haven't heard him, you know, talk like that in a couple of years. So, but I appreciated it because, you know, he clearly, when you look at this fight and the last fight, he's giving guys shots right now. You know, like, would you agree, like, Yair Rodriguez, he does not have to fight him. You know, like Calvin Kattar, like, you know, that's my guy, but Holloway did not have to fight him. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are shots. Like, Max Holloway is giving, like, up-and-coming guys that are coming up, you know what I mean, that are probably, like, getting, you know, they're not that far from him in the ranks, but they're far from him in legacy. You know what I'm saying? Like, Max Holloway has done way more in the sport and in the UFC, particularly, than both of those. So, really, yeah, they might be like number 7, number 10, whatever ranks, you know, those two guys are, but he doesn't have to fight guys like that. Like, but Max Holloway, I respect it because he's still doing it, and he's saying, you know, he wants to take the stairs. He doesn't want to feel like he's just being granted the, you know, the title shot because of his name or, you know, what he's done or anything like that. You know, he'd rather, you know, go through the trenches and have to fight his way back to the belt and really feel like he earned it and put on, you know, spectacular performances. And I think that's incredible right there. Do you really look at that? Max Holloway, he deserves a lot of credit, man. That's some real shit. This shit show's called Real Talk, man. That's real talk. That Max Holloway, man, dude is real, man. He's too real.
Actually, I think what Max is doing is he's forcing Dana White's hand, because he beat Calvin Kattar, and I think at the time Calvin Kattar was, what, in the top 5, top 7? I want to say he was top 5. I want to say he was top 5. So he beat Calvin Kattar. Now he's fighting another guy in the top 10. So basically what he's doing is saying, I know you guys don't want to give me a third title fight against Volkanovski, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to beat everybody that's in the top 10 so that you guys can't not give me a title shot. So once again, he's taking the stairs, not the elevator. He's taking the hard route, not the easy route. And I like it.
Yeah. He's locked in, man. And it's, you know, that idea of, you know, he had another quote, and I was reading this a little while ago. I didn't hear it in the interview. He might have said it, but I didn't watch the entire thing. But he said another quote, and he said, "I never really lost. I just ran out of time."
Well, that's one way of looking at it, but that's one way of looking at it, but
do you think that's relating to the fact he lost by decision, right? That's what he's saying.
I mean, but it was five rounds. It was five rounds. So now, me personally, I thought he won the second fight. Now, the first fight, man, I was surprised at what Volkanovski was able to do to him. Volkanovski was able to leg kick him, strike with him, take him down. Volkanovski was able to basically implement a well-rounded game plan to beat him. And then in the second fight, I thought Max won 3-2. So, hey, but Max is doing it the right way. He ain't using his former champ status. He's not using his former champ status to politic to get a title fight. He's fighting guys. And that's all we ask guys to do, guys and ladies. That's what we ask them to do. Fight your way to your title shot, not talk your way into a title shot.
Yeah, I mean, that fight's going to be a great fight, I think. I'm looking forward to it. That might be one of those ones that, let me think about this, Saturday. What's happening on Saturday? Okay, I got some stuff during the day on Saturday. But it's hard to know now because I don't know when they're going to be on Fight Island and when they're not now. Because the way everything's happening, it's like I don't know if they're just going to be at Fight Island and it's going to be during the day. So then when they do that, it just – It irritates me because I always forget. It throws me off. Like, and the way that my days are, like, you know, I like to do things. Like, I like to grind out the whole day, midday, and then, like, wind down by night, and that's when I like to watch fights. But, you know, so that's kind of just the way my mind works. But when they go during the day, it kind of throws me off. So hopefully this one's not on Fight Island. I'd like to do what I'm doing during the day Saturday and then watch it after that. But it's at the Apex. Okay, so is it in Vegas?
Oh my goodness, Yair Rodriguez, that doesn't bode well for you. That's the smaller octagon.
Wow. Yeah, you've had some theories about that smaller octagon.
Yeah, the smaller octagon make you fight. The smaller octagon, you can't run around as much. So I like the small octagon.
Damn, they might have just set up Yair Rodriguez. This fight might be a targeted hit on Rodriguez. They're trying to put him in there. They're trying to throw him into the wolves, man. that's terrifying. Because Max Holloway, I'll tell you this, Tony Ferguson, you know, was the boogeyman, but Max Holloway been looking like the boogeyman. I don't know if you look at the past couple of years. Who's really been, you know, breaking records and destroying guys like the way he has been. Like Tony Ferguson was a boogeyman for a long time, but realistically, look at Max Holloway as of recent. He might be the new boogeyman. He might be, you know what I'm saying? He been beating guys down. Like when he wins his fights, which is most of the time, he's destroying guys. Like he don't just barely beat guys like some of these other dudes do. He's destroying guys.
Yeah, man. Hey, like I said, I hope Yair Rodriguez has a solid game plan and he sticks to it. So I look for Max to, a five-round fight? I think he finishes him in the third round via TKO.
Wait, you said Holloway, third round TKO?
Yep.
Yeah, you going with the Keys Classic.
Well, being that it's a five-round fight, yeah.
The Keys Classic, man, third round TKO, I respect it. But UFC 268, we got to talk about this. So, first of all, I'm trying. Let me look at this. I want to see what fight I want to start with here, because
Bobby Kane Green.
Okay, yeah, that's the fight I wanted to start with. Bet. So, what's up with Bobby Green, man? Tell the people what happened in that fight.
He came out and did what I tweeted at him to do. He came out and was the aggressor. He didn't wait on Al. He came out and made Al react to him, and I loved it. I was happy that he came out and he played that way that he fought that way because his style isn't favorable to judges for some strange reason. Even though the Fiziz fight, I felt he won that fight. But they gave a decision to Fiziz. So when this fight was announced, I immediately tweeted at Bobby Green. I was like, Bobby, you have to be the aggressor. You have to come out and be the one to throw first. And when he came out and threw first, he caught my man Al and finished him to my much delight. So, hey, congrats to Bobby Green.
So, I just want to say one thing, right? First of all, I like that style for Bobby Green. I like him trying to finish guys and not let it go to the scorecards because they don't like to give him decisions, it seems, and I'm kind of sick and tired of it. So I like that this style. He goes in there and kind of asserts himself as the aggressor early on. You know, kind of be assertive with that, and I like that approach for him. So that's first of all. Secondly, that was definitely the biggest win of his career by far. So
yep.
that's incredible. Definitely the biggest win. I mean, he just knocked out a guy that was, I'm pretty sure, a top five lightweight not that long ago before he was removed from the rankings. You know, he fought for the belt. So that's the biggest win of his career. Iaquinta was a name. I mean, Iaquinta kind of let himself fade off, but he's still a top lightweight. So Iaquinta's a top 10 lightweight to me. Even though he's not ranked, he's top 15 to me. So to me, that's basically equal to a ranked win for Bobby Green, if you ask me. He beat a ranked guy, even though they took him out of the rankings. Do you think they'll give him who do you think they would give him the fight next? Or who would you like him to fight next?
I don't know, man. What division is that? That's lightweight. Let me see. That's a tough division, bro. I don't know, but it all depends on if he ranked though. I don't think he ranked, so you know, cause that's. Let me see, RDA, Tony Ferguson, Hooker. He's still not ranked, so maybe Thiago Moises. Brad Riddle, maybe one of those guys, because he already fought for Z's. I don't think they will give him a top 10 guy. So maybe Brad Riddle or Thiago Moises, man. Maybe that's who he should fight next.
I would like to see him and Brad Riddle. I think that sounds like a banger right there. Is Drew Dober in the top 15?
No.
All right, never mind. I was going to say him and Drew Dober would probably be a banger too, but I want to see him fight a top 15 guy. He just beat Iaquinta first round knockout. You gotta give him a top 15. They need to give him a new contract, actually, because they've been having him fight all these non-ranked guys. So Dana White should be offering him a new contract, actually. Let's have it right. That should be the first step before you try to make him fight, you know, step way up in competition. That's what I think. That should really be fair.
Hey, Keys, can I say something real quick? I ain't mean to interrupt. I loved his message at the end of the fight his message of hope to people, I loved it. If you, man, hey, people, look at Bobby Green's post-fight interview, and he's an inspiration. So just go ahead, Keith. I just want to throw that out there before I forgot to say it.
Yeah, I got to look that up on YouTube because I don't even think I don't remember his speech. I was sitting right there, but I don't remember it. I have to go back and watch that on YouTube. But let's see. You had we won't talk about the prelim main event. There really wasn't much to talk about there, at least not yet. Let's go into the main card. What was the first fight of the main card? Oh, yeah, Chandler and Gaethje, right?
Michael Chandler and Justin Gaethje.
Right. So Chandler and Gaethje, right? Let me give my take on this fight real quick, right? Literally 1 minute tops. Okay, boom. So I think Chandler, he won the first round. Gaethje won rounds 2 and 3. Chandler tried to come with one round and beat Gaethje inside the first. You could tell that he wanted to, or he thought he'd get Gaethje out of there in the first round, and he almost did, to his credit. But you can't come with just one round, bro. Like, I'm a fan of yours. I want to see you do well, but you can't just think that you're going to be able to win a world title, you know, in the best division in the UFC with coming, you know, while coming with just one round. Gaethje came with three rounds. He looked like he could have went five rounds, and he was in control of that fight 2 and 3. So that fight was a good fight, but Gaethje outclassed him. What do you think?
Keith, you my man. I don't need you to vouch for me when I say this, but I need you to co-sign when I say this. What have I been saying about Michael Chandler since his first fight in the UFC? What have I been saying, bro?
Yeah, you've been said that since the beginning, that, you know, when you were watching his clips from Bellator, it was like he always came with one round, and it seemed like after the first round, he really wasn't the same fighter. So, yeah, you called that one out from the jump, and it seems to have played out just as you said it.
Now, I'm not going to lie. Man, Chandler and Gaethje, probably top five fights of the year so far in 2021. It was a banger. I thought Chandler was doing some things early in the fight when he was leg kicking Gaethje, but for some strange reason, he abandoned it. And he became the one to get his leg chewed up. And once he got his leg chewed up, he didn't know how to fight southpaw, so it gave Gaethje even more of an advantage. Gaethje is a tough SOB, man. This guy, I think he may have had vibranium put in his chin because he took some shots in that first round, and I was like, whoa. I thought he was out. Man, it was a couple times I thought either one of them could go out. Chandler, what I would suggest is, you know how Anderson Silva used to come out in the first round, Keys, and he would, like, fill his opponent off for, like, 2 or 3 minutes, and then he would get into it? I would actually suggest that style for Chandler. Come out, first couple minutes of the fight, fill your opponent out so you are not exerting a lot of energy, and you can actually settle into the fight. But he comes out as soon as the bell rings, ball to the wall. And if he don't finish you in the first round, then you see him start thinking. But I think in this fight, he really didn't think too much. He knew he was in there with a beast. So he was going to guard on his shield, which I appreciate. Gaethje, I think, should get the winner of Charles Oliveira and Dustin Poirier. Michael Chandler, I don't know, man. Maybe we finally get Chandler versus Ferguson. Maybe. Since that was a fight that the UFC claimed they tried to make earlier, maybe we get that fight maybe in early 2022. So, hey, but hats off to that fight, man. Those two guys left it all in the octagon.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did. I mean, and to that point, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a fight of the year candidate, even though I still think there's potential for somebody to top it. And I would need to look back at some of these other fights that have happened. I need to look and see, because I don't really remember the year too much. But I would need to kind of get a little flashback and remember some of these other fights. But either way, yeah, I would like Chandler and Ferguson. I think that'd be a cool fight. Also, Chandler and maybe we gotta do Chandler and your boy. Oh no, not Dan Hooker. He already fought Dan Hooker.
Yeah,
he fought Dan Hooker.
Made him
I don't
look
know,
good.
Man.
Huh? Dan Hooker made him look good.
Yeah, well, that was because Chandler was able to smash him in the first round. So it was, you know what I'm saying? If it were to go longer, you probably would have seen Hooker look good, because Hooker, we know Hooker can go five rounds, but we don't know that Chandler can look good over five rounds. So, you know, it obviously that didn't happen, but whatever. I do like Chandler and Ferguson, though. I think that would be a cool fight to make next. I don't really know who else off the top that I would like to see Chandler or either one of them against. But the next fight, we had the Shane Burgos and Quarantillo fight. I don't really have too much to say about that one.
That fight was good.
Yeah, that one was
a good
was a
fight,
pretty,
bro.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool fight, but I don't really have too much to say about it. You know, they're both warriors. The Quarantillo, see why Billy Quarantillo was saying that, you know, people might not know who I am now before the fight, but, you know, I promise by the end of this fight, you're going to be remembering my name. You'll know who I am next time out. And, you know, he definitely lived up to that. You know, they both put on, they're both warriors. And I expect nothing less from Shane Burgos, but, you know, I haven't seen as many fights of Quarantillo. So that's definitely a guy I'll be watching now for sure. Even though I believe he lost the decision, I feel like his stock went up in that fight. I think both their stocks went up.
I think Quarantillo probably gained more fans after that fight than Burgos. I think Quarantillo, man, this guy, he showed a hell of a lot of heart in that fight. And this is how good that fight was to me. After the Chandler-Gaethje fight, I was sitting there like, man, boy, I need a drink, man. I gotta bring it down a little bit. We got about four or five more fights to go. And then these two kick it off. I was like, damn, this fight is a banger. So, hey, Shane Burgos pulled it out. But, hey, I think Quarantillo definitely gained some new fans. I like the kid. I thought he did. He was in the fight until he couldn't put no more weight on his leg. He refused to go southpaw. Maybe that's heart, or maybe his leg went numb and, you know, he couldn't feel no more kicks, but he couldn't go southpaw, and it was a great fight.
So, I'm trying to think. What was the third fight up? What was the featured fight? So you had Chandler and Gaethje, then you had Burgos and what's the one I'm missing?
We had
that one. Frankie Edgar. He lost in the third round. I think it was the third round. He lost by like a. I don't know if it was a flying knee or like something he lost. I'm not sure what it – I don't even really know what it was. I wasn't too locked in on that fight. It didn't really do that much for me. I'll let you rock out with that one. But, I mean, obviously, you know, we said that if it was going to be by stoppage, we thought that would beat Frankie. But if Frankie could – maintain the wrestling, that he would win by decision, and he was doing that, you know, early on, but, you know, he wasn't able to keep the fight on the mat.
I think the thing with Frankie is, man, is that when you look at the guys he's fighting, either it doesn't matter which weight division he was in, they just come in so much bigger than him. So basically, it's like he has to fight on the outside to avoid big shots because he's not big enough to go in there and stand toe-to-toe with guys that's bigger than him. When you was looking at that fight, you could just see how big Marlon Vera was compared to him. Frankie had a great career. I think it's time for Frankie to hang it up. He was doing bad at 145. Now he moved down to 135. He's doing bad now. So, hey, man, you was a champion. Hey, go ahead and hang it up, man. You know, go ahead and walk out, or unless you want to be carried out. And we'd rather see our heroes walk out the octagon. But Marlon Vera, I'm not a fan. Some of the antics he was pulling in the fight, I didn't like. I think it was at the end of the second round, the third round, he gave Frankie the double middle fingers. It was like, damn, bro, for real? Then after the fight, he was like, yeah, I was just trying to play mind games, you know, whatever, whatever. And then after he knocked him out, he went over there and was talking shit, gave him the finger. I don't like that shit, man. Hey, be a professional, win like a pro, lose like a pro. That's all I got on that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that fight was what it was. We got to roll into Rose here. I want to get some time to talk about Rose and Usman. So Rose had. I'm not going to break down the whole fight because I want to get to some other stuff too. I'll just ask you this: how did you score the Rose and Wilde Zhang fight?
I had it 3-2 Rose. I had Rose winning round one. I had Wilde winning rounds 2 and 3. And I had Rose winning the championship rounds. I thought Rose takedowns, and it wasn't like she was just laying on her. She was landing strikes, trying to submit her, and then she figured out in the third round that she could fight at distance, and that Wilde would have to close the distance and take chances. So I thought Rose won the fight. I thought Weili, you know, she showed me some things. I never thought she could fight off her back, which she really can't. But, hey, she came in there with a new game plan to be the aggressor. She had a couple takedowns, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah, I mean, I personally could tell, you know, they said Wilde had been training with Henry Cejudo, and I feel like that definitely, you know, being around him, work with him, I could see that, you know, her wrestling, you know, that was a much part of her game there, and that was something that she really didn't have before. So at least not to that level, you know. I feel like she definitely improved her wrestling a lot, and her overall ground game definitely got better. So, you know, I feel like she is steadily improving on that. I want to say I had it 3-4 and 5 I gave to Rose, 1 and 2 I gave to Wilde, so 3-2 Rose. I know some people disagreed with that, but, you know, we ain't nobody got time for that to sit and debate with you about how you scored the fight, at least not this time, maybe another night. But, yeah, the fight is what it was. They had Rose was saying that Carla Esparza is probably the next fight for her and the only fight that would really make sense. So, I mean, I personally like that fight because I'm kind of sick of seeing, like, all these title rematches. I kind of want to.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, and don't get me wrong, I understand that that is also a rematch because they have fought before. They fought Rose and Carla Esparza fought when the division was brand new. They fought for the vacant belt when the strawweight title they were the fight when the strawweight title was just created and they were trying to crown the first strawweight champion. And Carla Esparza finished Rose there. So I understand that the fight itself is a rematch, but it's not a title rematch. We're not having a it's not great because it's still a rematch, but it's better than having to see, you know, the same title fight two or three times in a row. Like, at least that fight is from years and years and years ago, and now they're finally rematching. We didn't just see it 6 months ago, and now we have to watch it again. Like Rose and Wilder Zhang, or, you know, Usman and Covington, like, pretty much happened like 2 years ago, and we already watched the rematch, and then, you know, God knows, and we had to watch Masvidal and Usman twice in pretty much 1 year's time. It's like, I'm just sick of seeing that. So, you know, that's cool that it's like a semi-fresh matchup, and we don't have to see Rose fight Joanna for a third time, or Wilder Zhang for a third time, or anything like this that I'm sure the UFC, you know, or somebody had already tried to pull out of a hat and say that should be the fight. So I'm just glad for that.
Yeah, me too, man. And plus, you have to look at it like you said. At the time they fought, it was the inaugural fight in the division. Now the division has been around. Now Rose is a two-time champ. Esparza was a champ. So, hey, but from I heard Carla Esparza on Sirius XM this week on the Unlocking the Cage with Jimmy Smith show, and Jimmy Smith has said that Dana White says that he has other plans for Nama Hunes' next fight. I don't know what other plans he could have, but Carla Esparza has done everything that a fighter should do to get back in the championship picture. She's fought the young people. She's fought the veterans. Get the lady the shot, man. So that's where I'm at.
I mean, the only thing that I can think is that he's possibly trying to set up a super fight. You have Valentina's there. Who's the other champion? The three women's divisions? Nunes? Yeah, Nunes got the two belts, right?
Yeah, you got Nunes, Bullet, and Rose.
So I'm thinking the only fight, if he's going to say I got something else up my sleeve like that, the only fight that I could think is that he's talking about having Rose fight Valentina for like a super fight. That's the only thing I could think of, because other than that, I mean, I really wouldn't expect that he would be – I just can't think of another fight that would be there that would – makes sense. And I don't know, but we'll have to see what happens, I guess. Usman and Covington was, to me, definitely not as good as the first fight. It was a pretty good fight, but I really wasn't blown away by it. It wasn't really like, I feel like the hype leading up to the fight was probably more exciting for me than the actual fight was. Maybe that was a mood I was in or something, or maybe people like enjoyed the fight more than I did. But I definitely thought the first fight was leagues better than that fight was. I know there's technical reasons for why it was like that, but I don't know. I feel like Usman pretty much. Covington kind of came on late in the fight. I feel like Usman won. I don't even remember how I had the rounds, honestly. I want to say, but I had Usman winning early in the fight. Like, the early rounds, I feel like Usman was locking those down. And then I want to say I might have gave Kobe rounds, I don't know if it was rounds 3 and 4 or rounds 4 and 5 that I gave Kobe. Because Kobe had two rounds. I definitely gave him two rounds. And I remember two rounds to Usman. So I want to say I probably had a 3-2 Usman. And I think I might have gave it 1-2-3 to Usman and then 4 and 5 to Kobe. Yeah, I want to say that's how I had the fight. How'd you score the fight?
I know some of the judges had a 4-1. Had a 4 rounds to 1. I had round 2 as a 10-8 round for Usman because he had knocked Kobe down twice. He probably could have finished Kobe in a second if he had a little bit more time. I thought Kobe, like you said, started to come on late in the fight, but by then it was too late. Especially with me having given Usman a 10-8 round in the second, But I thought I gave Kobe's round 3 and 4, maybe 4 and 5. But, yeah, I definitely had a Usman 3-2. I didn't think the fight was boring. I thought the fight was more of, okay, Kobe is a tough guy. Usman is a tough guy. When you get two tough guys in the octagon that have skill, you're not going to get a bomb brawler fight. You're not going to get a fight where they just going to stand in the middle of the octagon and trade blows. You're not going to get that type of fight because these guys are so skilled, and plus they know what they can and can't do in the fight. So I didn't think it was boring. I didn't think it was as action-packed as the first one, but I still thought it was a very good fight.
Yeah, let me take a look and see here. Starting to make welterweight fights now. You got, you know, we know those two guys aren't going to fight again. Masvidal fell out of the Edwards fight, so Edwards is kind of there without an opponent. It seems like Edwards just wants to take time off and wait for the title fight with Usman. And honestly, if he does that, I mean, usually I'm against guys doing that, but you know, Oliveira was pretty much in the same position. And I was saying that I didn't like Oliveira waiting out. But at the same time, looking back, I mean, Oliveira had the right to do that. He was on like a 7, 8, I think 9-fight win streak. And Leon Edwards even has more than that. I think Leon Edwards is like 9, 10, maybe 11-fight win streak. And I just, you know, his last couple fights aren't really like fights that I would say, oh, let him fight for the title. But, you know, I can respect it if he just chooses to not take another opponent and just wait. I can respect it. I know Khamzat Chimaev wants to step in there and fight him, but, you know, it is what it is to me. That'd be cool, but if it doesn't happen and Leon wants to wait, I mean, I wouldn't blame him for that. I feel like he's done more than enough, man.
Yeah, I think the UFC, I think they're going to try to make Leon Edwards and the Chimaev fight, which to me, if on Leon Edwards, you got more to lose in that fight than you had to gain. I say if you don't fight again, you're the number one contender. So, like I said earlier, with me and you were talking on our group chat, I was like, if I'm Edwards, I make tomorrow fight somebody else. Hell, he don't have as many top 5 and top 10 fights, top 15 fights as Leon Edwards. Make this guy fight some top 10, top 15 guys and earn his way. Not just get him because you know if he was to beat Edwards, they would give him a title shot. So, nah, make him beat some more guys.
Yeah, and that's pretty much goes back to what we were talking about earlier. What did Max, you know, what Max Holloway said? He said, you know, these elevator divas, you know, I'd rather take the stairs. That's pretty much exactly, you know, not specifically talking about Chimaev, but just that concept of guys just wanting to come in and, you know, fight, you know, 3 fights against, you know, non-ranked guys and then expect to fight for the title. And it's just like they just always want to just catapult their way to the top. And, I mean, it's the UFC kind of, like, sets up a lot of guys to even to do that in the first place. Like, I mean, I was explaining this to some people this past weekend. Like, you know, some people I was with were like, oh, how did Chandler come in? How did Chandler come in and his first fight? No, they said he's 2 fights in and he's already number 6 ranked, I think they said, or number 5 ranked. And I said, well, what happened was they had him come in, and his first fight was against, I want to say, the number 5 ranked guy at the time. And then they had him fill in for the belt. He lost, and then now he's here fighting the number 2. But you can't really say that that's really not Dana White privilege, man. It's not. Like, because if you go back and do the digging, you know who else got the same treatment? Justin Gaethje. Justin Gaethje got the same exact treatment as Michael Chandler. So I don't know what people are talking about, you know, hating on Chandler, saying, oh, they just brought him in and you got Dana White privilege, you moving right to the top. Yes, they did propel him to the top quickly. But I think there's good reason for that, first of all. Second of all, is Justin Gaethje got the same exact treatment. Remember when Justin Gaethje came in? A lot of people forget these type of things. Keys don't forget. Keys don't forget, man. Keys don't forget.
Yeah, I know.
Look at this. You want to hear something funny? Who was Justin Gaethje's first fight in the UFC?
Michael Johnson.
You know what Michael Johnson was ranked at that time?
What?
Number 5.
Wow. They gave him a top 5 guy right off the gate.
Right. But that's what makes me not understand when people hate on Chandler, saying, oh, how come he's the only one that gets to just jump right to the top? And it's like, that's not the case, because you guys didn't even say the same thing when they did it with Gaethje. He came in and fought Michael Chandler, number 5, and then he's only fought pretty much inside the top 5 since then. Like, if you really look at it, like, he's pretty much – I don't think he's fought – well, okay, so when he took a couple losses, they had him fighting inside the top 5. He was fighting Poirier. He lost Poirier. They had him fight Alvarez, who had just lost the belt, I'm pretty sure. He lost to Alvarez. But, yeah, they kept him inside the top 5. And then once he lost a couple times in the top 5, which was those 2 losses, which were the only 2 losses on his record at the time, they started moving him down, and he started fighting guys that were, like, you know, in the top 10, but, like, you know, between 5 and 10. So that's when he started fighting Edson Barboza. Then he fought, you know, James Vick. He fought, you know, guys like this. But they still kept him inside the top 10. So basically, Justin Gaethje and Michael Chandler are very alike in the way that they were treated coming into the UFC. So they literally both came in and got the number 5 ranked guy in their first fight, both of them, in different eras. So there's no difference about that. They are the same guy to me. Obviously, they have different attributes, but as far as their careers and you know, their styles, they're pretty damn similar. So it is what it is. I don't even know how I got into that topic, but how do we get into that?
Talking about man, because you was talking, bro, and it made sense. It don't matter how you got into it if it didn't make sense, you know. But it made sense.
No, it made sense. I just forget what was the main thing that we were, because I didn't remember. I lost the main of thought of where it was going with it. What was the main
we were talking
thing?
About,
was it Leon Edwards?
Yeah.
We were talking
Leon
about
Edwards was the main thing.
Because I didn't remember what I was relating that back to. That was the problem. So,
yeah,
they got the same treatment. So that's just what I'm trying to say, is that guys, you know, Chimaev, you know, is trying to get the elevator treatment. He wants to just go up the elevator and just fight to the, you know, right to the top. You know, he just fought his first, I think the guy he just fought is top 15, but he's like at the top of the top 15. Like, he think he was a ranked guy. And I don't really know for sure if Yi Ying Lang is top 15 or not. I'm not sure. Is he ranked?
I'm about to look it up now.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that one. If anything, I want to say he's like 14 or 15 ranked at welterweight.
Hold up. Come on. Rankings. I think he was ranked prior to, yeah, he number 12. He fought Li Yingling, right?
Yeah. He's ranked number 12.
Yeah, he ranked number 12 now.
Chimaev number 12?
Chimaev number 10.
Oh.
Yingling number 12. So that means Yingling had to be in the top 10.
Yeah, so unless Yuengling was number 11 and they moved him down one and then moved Chimaev, you know, all the way to 10, which I could see them doing that. But, I mean, either way, he has a win over a ranked guy now, and you know, but he wants to just, you know, fight the top five right away and then go to the title. And he knows that, like you said, if he wins that, if he were to win the Edwards fight, that, you know, they'd have him fight Usman, and, you know, all these fans would continue getting ahead of themselves and saying that, you know, Usman, you know, do we know if Usman can beat Chimaev? And it's like, do we know Chimaev can beat Usman? What? What are y'all talking about? What are y'all talking about? Oh, my goodness.
That was,
like,
that was all over Twitter on Saturday.
They are so, man. Yo, that's one thing with the UFC fans, man. It really kills me. They are so quick to forget. It is so crazy. Like, all these great champions, like Stipe Miocic, you know, destroys everybody. And then Ngannou came along, and then they fought the first time, and everybody was like, oh, we don't know if Stipe can beat this guy. And then Stipe dominated him. A couple of years later, Stipe dominates more. A couple more years, three more years of domination. Defeats Cormier twice. Then they go. Then he finally loses to Ngannou. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then people completely now it's like Stipe is like his stock is way down. It's just like people the UFC fans, they like to just write champions off as if they were never or if they're not currently great. You know, to me, Stipe is still great. You know, Stipe is going to come back and be great when he comes back in his next fight. You're going to see him look great. That's what I think. And but a lot
of fans are, you know, fans are, what have you done for me lately? And then sometimes some of these guys, I think me and you said it's two keys, is a lot of these fighters now are really, really active. And if you aren't active, sometimes out of sight is out of mind, and that ain't a good thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's literally as recent as, like, the last fight card. If you weren't on the last fight card, like, people aren't even talking to, you know, people aren't even recognizing you, and it's just funny because, you know, Kamaru Usman is an incredible fighter. It's just funny that it goes from, can any of these guys beat Usman? And then he wins the belt. And now Usman only, he fought like a couple guys. He only fought five title defenses, but against three different opponents.
Yeah.
He only beat three guys. So those five title defenses don't really sound that crazy to me. Because you really only fought three different guys in those five defenses. Two of them you fought twice. So you've only beaten three guys in the division? It's like, what? Like, and then the media is like, the media is like, oh, now he's just lapping the division. It's like, man, really? He's lapping the division? He's fought three contenders. What are y'all talking about? He hasn't even fought a lot of the guys that are up there with him. I haven't seen him fight Wonderboy yet. I haven't seen him fight Leon Edwards since he was the champion. You know what I'm saying? I haven't seen him fight any of these top guys, so I don't understand where all this is coming from.
Well,
I haven't seen him fight, what's his name there that just beat Woodley the last time he fought UFC? Luque. I haven't seen him fight Luque.
Yeah, man. It's like I didn't think Masvidal deserved a rematch, but we knew going into the fight he had a built-in excuse, being that he took the fight on, 6 days' notice, so he had a built-in excuse. I really didn't think Covington deserved a rematch because of the way he lost in the first one. And then Gilbert Burns got dominated. And then who was the third? It was it's only been Covington, Masvidal, Gilbert Burns, and then now
he fought them both twice.
Yeah, so I didn't think neither one of them deserved a rematch or a second chance at the belt. So, but I think the UFC they really want to get Chimaev up there into the title picture. That's why I think they're trying to get him to fight Leon Edwards, so that way, you know, Leon, if he wins, he's automatic in the title picture. And then you got a built-in excuse for Chimaev because he just fought. So you can say that he took a fight on short notice, but you really can't say that because the guy he fought didn't even land a strike. So I don't know, man. I don't know. We shall see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, I think ideal scenario for the UFC, you know, they get to screw Leon Edwards and try to make him fight Chimaev, who he does not have to fight. He should be fighting for the belt. But ideal scenario for the real ones and for me and you is Leon Edwards says, I don't need to fight that guy. I didn't even need to fight Masvidal. I didn't need to fight any of these guys. I already should have been fighting for the title. So I'm just going to chill back with my family. And then when you guys want to call me to send the contract and lock in the fight, then we can go from there. I think for the real ones, that's what should happen.
Yeah, man. So, hey, Keys. So, I got to throw some basketball at you, bro.
Yeah, go ahead.
Philadelphia 76ers want to trade Ben Simmons to Boston for Jaylen Brown. What you think?
Oh, nah, we can't do that one. Come on. Come on. What? I don't know.
Yeah,
I
man.
Mean,
that's been on the rumor mill here the last couple of days.
You know, I'm not the basketball expert. Maybe some of the, you know, the NBA aficionados might think that's a great trade. But, I mean, for me, if you're the Celtics, you got to turn that one down. You got to hold it down, you know, and keep – Jaylen Brown's like he's a key part of the team, at least to me. I don't know. I wouldn't want to do that trade. But, you know, some people might feel like that Ben Simmons is a point guard, right?
Yeah, but he's the size of a power forward. He's about 6'10", I think.
So would he play point guard? Does he play point guard or power forward?
He played point guard, but he's the size of a power forward.
Because I know some guys would probably try to – because I heard someone say the other day that I didn't know about that trade, but I did hear someone say, you know, about the Celtics getting like a true point guard, and I heard some flack, you know, going to Marcus Smart and people saying that, like, he's not, you know, a true point guard. He's not a full point guard like some of these other guys or like a Ben Simmons. And, you know, so I think that talk might be out there, too, about them getting a better point guard. But for me, I don't know. I think keep Jaylen Brown. I feel like he's like a key to the team's future. But at the same time, though, I haven't seen how they've been playing this season, so I haven't even watched the game yet, so I probably need to get myself watching the game, and I could probably make a better call from there. Because if they're still just trying to play from the outside and everybody thinks they're the Golden State Warriors from, like, 5 years ago, like, if the Celtics just going to keep playing like that and, like, not actually pass the ball and, like, make plays and kind of go back to, like, the fundamentals of basketball and just, like, be a true team and not everybody trying to be, like, the one player, and everybody trying to be a superstar. Like, if they're still having that attitude, then, man, they can just – the whole team can go, man. They can all just get on with it if that's how they're going to keep playing, because that's not going to get us anywhere, you know, having that attitude. But if they can have some teamwork and play the way that I believe they can, you know, if they – you know, with new coaching, which I believe they have this season, then I say you got to keep these guys.
Yeah, man. Actually, I want to go the other way with it because I think Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they kind of play the same game. And I think with Ben Simmons, you'll have an all-NBA defender, and you'll have a guy that's a playmaker. So I don't know, man. It's just tough. So, but look, man, we done went over tonight, man. Got any last words?
Oh, man, your boy McGregor's on Twitter calling out Masvidal for falling out of the Edwards fight now.
Of course.
You spelled his name wrong, too.
What do you call him, George?
Oh, man. Nah, he spelled his last name wrong. He spelled Masvidal V-A-D-A-L.
Damn.
Yeah, so, yeah, you say something. But, we went over a couple minutes. My bad. I wanted to get to everything, and we still got to everything.
We did.
Yeah, no, we still did get to everything. But, you know, the Celtics had us, you know, going over time because, you know, the Celtics just disappoint me a lot. So I had to just talk about that a little bit. But, you know, if they would just pass the ball and play like a team, then, you know, we wouldn't have to spend extra minutes talking about them. But since that's not the case, we have to. So it is what it was. I appreciate those who listen. I'm exhausted. So I'm out of here. Lee, the floor is yours. And that's it. Y'all are real, and I appreciate everybody. Also, today was a special day, Veterans Day. And, you know, I had posted that up on my Instagram earlier today, and I just wanted to just say that, you know, a big thank you to and Lee being a veteran as well. So a big thank you to those who have served in the past and are stationed currently, serving and fighting for our freedoms currently. So past and present, all veterans and current active members of the armed service. Big thank you to all of you. No thank you is truly enough. A thank you is minimal compared to your sacrifice. But you know, today is all of your day. So I just wanted to put that shout out out there. Much love to all of you.
Yeah, I like to shout out the veterans. You know, I, of course, like Keith said, I serve. My son served, and I got my youngest son. He's currently serving. My kid's mother, she served. So, you know, happy Veterans Day to all the veterans out there, especially to those who made the ultimate sacrifice. Especially to those families. Thank you. You know, tonight we covered a lot, but, you know, as always, me and Keys always like to end the show on a positive note, positive people, positive energy, yield positive results. And with that being said, we always get out of here with a peace.